Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tom Hart from the SEC Network has had the pleasure of calling both Georgia and Tennessee this year, and he joins us to talk about that and more here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. The cell service okay? Everything's been established this afternoon? Tom, we're good?
I'm not hanging from the gable, but I did have to leave the house, so I'm literally walking the dog. It's not a euphemism. It's what I'm doing right now. just to get you guys the cleanest, clearest signal I possibly could.
Well, you're a team player in that regard, Tom. We very much appreciate that. So when did you realize that Tennessee could be on to something pretty special this year?
Well, gosh, it's a great question. You know, I think it was really last year when they figured out the quarterback situation, because Josh Heupel's offense and what they do, spreading you out, and you know, we'll talk ad nauseum about their big plays, but it's really predicated on not making mistakes. And Joe Milton was a quarterback who initially had the starting job and made a lot of mistakes, did not have a high completion percentage. He ends up getting hurt. Here comes Hooker, and man, the dude doesn't turn the ball over. You know, they put it in Domino terms. They get a lot of at-bats, right? I mean, they send a lot of dudes to the plate because they don't turn the ball over. And so they're able to move at that tempo that everybody knows about and move the ball down the field because you don't throw picks. And I think once we saw what he could do, the question was, all right, can they find the pieces around him and get better defensively to compete for championships? And Jalen Hyatt comes out of nowhere. Cedric Tillman has been hurt, but he's back now. And the run game took a step up. So they got better in all areas they needed to.
Hey, Tom, we hear about coaches going to visit other coaches. Is Heupel's playbook, is he doing something different enough where we're going to hear the pilgrimage? He's obviously got the right trigger man, but is he doing anything different in his playbook itself that other people are going to want to play the copycat game with?
Well, it's an evolution, right? Like every great offense borrows from something else. Heupel's background was in the air raid. He was Mike Leach's quarterback at Oklahoma. That's the foundation of it all, but you would never describe it as being air raid, because then you merge with kind of the Baylor offense and what Briles was doing in terms of getting guys outside the numbers. By the way, very similar to what Ole Miss is doing and what Kiffin is doing, is let's spread you out and then get an advantage in the box, but you have to be able to run the ball. And I think great coordinators, great coaches are malleable. You know, they're willing to change with the times and change with their personnel. It's why Ole Miss is third in the country in rushing right now, because Lane Kiffin realized, I don't have Matt Corral back there anymore. We've got to be able to run the ball. And I've got three real dude running backs. So Heupel's the same way. You know, it's bits and pieces of all of his background to get him to this place. And by the way, when he was just running the air raid and at Oklahoma as a coordinator, he failed. He got fired. He had to reinvent himself. Then when he got to Missouri and he had Drew Locke and he got to UCF, he had McKenzie Milton and had these other quarterbacks who had different skill sets, and he was willing and able to move with those skill sets.
It's amazing. Every great coach has to adapt and adjust. Nick Saban comes to mind, and Josh Heupel is doing the same thing. It's really just a hybrid of some of his experiences over the years. You're exactly right about that.
Yeah, and Saban's really the poster boy for it, right? I mean, and Kiffin has told us this story numerous times, but when Lane Kiffin was hired, he was originally hired to go to Alabama to run what he was running at USC. After doing some research and after getting drubbed by Oregon when they hung 55 points and 600 yards on him and they ran only five plays, he was on the flight back with Steve Sarkisian. He goes, man, we're doing something wrong. Like, we have this Cheesecake Factory playbook of 1,000 plays, and we can't move the ball, and that dude's running five plays and torching us. So after he got hired by Saban, he said, listen, I know you hired me to do what I was doing at USC. I'm here to tell you that's not the wave of the future. And Saban was willing to listen, ceded control of the offense to Kiffin, and Alabama has remained elite as opposed to falling behind.
I'm going to play the way too soon card, and I'm not looking to rain on Tennessee's parade. But is it sustainable? Whatever they do this year, it's okay, Tennessee is back. But if you don't have the right trigger guy next year, I'm not telling you Josh Heupel's staying awake because he's got a lot of other stuff on his mind. But there is going to come a point during the offseason where he's going to have to try to figure out, do I have a guy who can if not replicated, come close enough where we have an opportunity to do what we're doing this year?
No, that is the million-dollar question, and I was thinking the same thing earlier today. The excitement around the Tennessee program is very similar to what we saw from LSU in 2019. Brady came in, they reinvented the offense, they had Joe Burrow, they had all sorts of dudes on the offensive side of the ball playing in the league now, Jamar Chase among them. But then they weren't able to replicate that. Like, they didn't repeat it. By the way, there's nothing more exciting in sports than that big program that's back on the big stage. And I know I'm not supposed to say this, living in Atlanta, but the crowds in the scene in Philly for the World Series and for the NLCS have been invigorating to the sport of baseball. It's just been awesome. And it's, of course, we saw that in Atlanta, and that's great. But you, dynasties kind of lack excitement at some point, right? It's the up and coming or the return of the blue bloods. And that's what Tennessee is experiencing right now. The good news for Tennessee fans is they've got Milton, who could do this next year. He's getting better. They've got an $8 million, if you believe the reports, quarterback that they've already signed is coming in. Like, they've got a stable of quarterbacks. And now, once you've been there, hopefully, if you do things right, I'm looking at you, LSU, but if you do things right, you have a line of people that want to come and be a part of it. And anymore, you don't have to wait for a freshman to be that guy. You go get somebody from another school. You go get a junior quarterback and be just fine. Hendon Hooker's 25 years old this year. Like, that experience is incredibly valuable.
It's really hard to win the Powerball. Can I give you a sure bet? Josh Heupel's contract is going to be ripped up. I don't even know what he signed for a couple of years ago, but I'm almost a little bit surprised it hasn't happened yet. Maybe they're going to let the dust settle and figure out what the number really should be. But that's the most given thing in college football this year, is Josh Heupel is going to get a new contract.
Can I counter that?
Yeah.
I would say Josh Heupel is worth whatever you want to pay him. And as a matter of fact, the Monday after the Alabama game, their enrollment, whatever you call it, the applications like went through the roof.
Yeah. Yep.
And we get it. And that's why Saban's worth every penny.
Tom Hart from the SEC Network. Yeah, I mean, it pays for itself. Kirby Smart, same deal at Georgia. We know how hard it is to get into Georgia. And in the meantime, you got Stetson Bennett over here. Everybody's talking about Hendon Hooker and Josh Heupel, saying, you know, I do have a national title. And for all of the talk of Tennessee's offense, Georgia's offense, Tom, you know this probably, has run all of 12 fewer plays this season. So not nearly as explosive, but pretty effective as well.
Yeah, just different strokes for different folks, right? I mean, it's fine. Like, there's room in college football to be different, to have variety. You talk to coordinators who come down from the NFL to the college game, and their mind is blown. The first year, their head is spinning, and they're like, dude, in the NFL, I only have to get prepared for two different offenses or two different defenses, maybe three. Here in college, I face a different offense every week. Like, it's totally fine, and it brings home a national championship. And once again, you have a guy that doesn't make a ton of mistakes who's your quarterback. That's the most valuable aspect of being a quarterback for an elite football team, because you're surrounded with five-star talent. So put your defense on the field, come up with stops, matriculate the ball down the field, which is only a word that I hear in conjunction with football, which I love. And then go win games, and that's it.
I'm going to give you one more. We talked about the big board in Sanford Stadium. I think now, Kirby's already said it, if you leave with a voice, you weren't cheering loud enough. I think with what Eric Ainge put out there, that place between the hedges, that's not much. I don't know what you're allowed to do. I know you can't pump in music during a play for an offense, but don't you think they're either going to put tweets up or they're going to have Kirby on there? They're going to do things that absolutely stir this, whip it into a frenzy if possible.
Yes, and you've taken me to a subject that will put me on a soapbox for just a minute. What we've seen at Neyland Stadium this year in multiple games, Florida first and then Alabama, what you're going to see at Sanford Stadium, what you've seen even at Utah, the same night Tennessee was beating Alabama, Utah stormed the field and had a huge win, I think, at home against USC, and Rice-Eccles was shaking. Once again, constant reminders and arguments. The College Football Playoff Committee has to put games on campus up until at least the semifinals. The product in college towns and college stadiums is different from the NFL. It's what appeals to the broader base from an entertainment standpoint. And to put them in a nondescript NFL stadium I mean, everything but the Rose Bowl, which I have immense respect for. But still, it's not the same at playing at home and having the light show and Tennessee run out through the tee and the flashing red lights at Sanford Stadium. That place is going to be electric, and you don't get that anywhere else. And the College Football Playoff Committee, these athletic directors primarily, but also former coaches, you've got to watch that Saturday afternoon on CBS and say to you, or watch Death Valley on ESPN Saturday night with Alabama in town and say to yourself, this is the best part of our product. Why would we give it away to a bowl committee to run when we could feature this throughout the entirety of a 12-game playoff up until the semis or a championship?
And there's nothing funnier than that one strip of visitors' tickets in a stadium like this where you just see, oh, yeah, that's all they get. And Nick and I have talked about it for the last few weeks. It's why the college game Saturday to me is much more interesting than Sunday. That is a large part of it, no doubt about it.
Embrace what sets you apart, right? I mean, embrace what is appealing to people. It is, we understand that not every one of these players is going to sign multi-million dollar contracts and play in the NFL. But there's marching bands, there's electricity, there's passion that rivals, I don't know, like where else do you find it? Maybe in the Premier League?
Yeah, soccer.
You know, hooligans across the pond? Like, oh, put your arms around it. Like, let's go. If they're going to throw the goalpost into the Tennessee River, charge them all the way to Lake Oconee, do it and put a camera on it.
Exactly. Let the people see it, most importantly.
When you looked at, I don't know if you watched the made-for-television TV show they put on after the selection committee spoke. They brought the numbers down from the mountain. But Clemson at four was, I think, a big one. I wanted to find out what they thought of them. TCU certainly was part of it. But I want to ask you about Alabama, based upon the 17 penalties against Tennessee and some of them. We don't know who they are yet. Nick Saban, he's probably guessing himself. Nick and I made a $5 bet yesterday. I don't think Alabama's going to end up in the SEC championship game. I think they're going to get gotten.
Maybe this Saturday.
Yeah, if it happens, it'll be Saturday. They average in their road games 11 penalties and over 100 yards of penalties. They're giving away 100 yards, and that's not what you expect from a Nick Saban team. And it's happened to them in their big games, right? I mean, that's what's disappointing. But still they have, with all due respect to Hendon Hooker, who I think if Tennessee wins Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, he wins the Heisman. I mean, that's his Heisman moment if he does what he's been doing. Bryce Young's the best quarterback in college football. Bill O'Brien, who spent years in the NFL, right, and was the head coach of Penn State, has said he's the third smartest player I've ever been around, and that's behind Tom Brady and Randy Moss. Like, ever. He makes instantaneous decisions. His processor is faster than everybody else. And if he were 3 inches taller and 20 pounds heavier, he's number one with a bullet, maybe the best draft prospect we've ever seen. So I don't want to bet against Bryce Young, but you could certainly make a case that the lack of discipline and the lack of playmakers on the perimeter, that this isn't your typical Alabama team.
And asking a guy to pull you out of the fire for a team that is as good as Alabama is, has been, and is supposed to be this year, I think you're flirting with it if you're going to ask a guy to be a hero every week, or at least enough weeks where sometimes the math just isn't going to work.
By the way, you watch that entire show Tuesday night? Is that
No.
Tom Hart from the SEC Network, I think he watched it. By the way, Tom's with us right now on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. For those that don't know who we're speaking with, I think he watched it, Tom, but he's not willing to admit
it. No, are you crazy? I wouldn't. I got other things. I could watch John Wick 3 again. I'm not watching.
Tom, doth protest a little too much.
Here's my question about the committee, and I've done the mock committee thing and learned the process, blah, blah, yada, yada. Who cares? Why did they focus on, like, there's a lot of predictive statistics that they use, and that's fine if this were a preseason poll, but guess what? These teams are going to play. So stop predicting who's the best team and tell us who are the best teams based on their resume. This should be all 100% resume based until you get to the end of the year. And there's a couple instances where you have to compare apples to oranges and how does the Pac-12 match up against the SEC and what is, you know, Oregon lost by 43. How do we judge that now? Because they haven't lost. That's fine. But the first week in November, when I'm still munching on Halloween candy, stop with any predictive statistics. Just tell me who's got the best resume to this point, and we've got a full month for it to shake out.
What game do you have this week?
I've got the John Cohen Bowl with Auburn at Mississippi State. So that'll be interesting. Maybe it's a – you think Prime will be watching some Auburn film and wondering if he's the next head coach on
it? Yeah, I mean, I like what Lane Kiffin said. We'll talk more about it after we finish up as we go on campus here on the show. Yeah, he thinks Deion Sanders would be a great fit at Auburn.
I think it would be the most disruptive coaching hire we've seen at the SEC, in the SEC maybe ever, because of his recruiting potential, but also because of the power brokers that he would listen to are different than the power brokers that have been in charge in the Plains for the last 50 years.
And that's what we brought it up the other day. He's going to come in with demands. He's made no bones about the idea that I'm only coming in. I'll take your money. And he knows, yeah. And he said it on game day the other day. He's not dumb. He's going to listen. But he's going to come up with a list. Now, again, you can just nod your head and go, yeah, we'll give you that, and we'll make sure we stay out of that. Those people's heads are going to fall off their shoulders when they see what he's going to want to take that job, as in more autonomy than you people have ever been willing to give.
And Lane would be the same way. Lane would be less about the autonomy. You make all the decisions. You just leave me alone. Like, just y'all stay out of the building. Let me coach my team. Go get my transfers. Those two guys don't need that job. And that is the ultimate leverage.
All right, Tom, have a good call this weekend. Appreciate the time. We'll do it again before the season's over. And thanks for walking the dog.
Maybe it was a euphemism, but I got a green bag in my hand. So, yeah, fitting.
The evidence speaks for itself. Picking up poop and coming on this program. That's a man that can multitask. Tom Hart from the SEC Network on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
I was waiting to hear, that's a good girl. Yeah, let me pick that up now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Sir Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.